Hello, this is Angela. Hello, this is Angela Butler. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's guest is Reverend Lionel Gant. He is with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and he's going to be telling you about his Stop the Violence event and campaigns. Hello?
Hey, how you doing? How you
Hey,
doing,
how are you?
Angela? Glad to be on the show. Glad to be on the show with you.
Okay, glad to have you. So you have a you're with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you also have the Stop the Violence and Incarceration event coming up. Would you like to tell people about that?
The SCLC Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign. First of all, this is a nonviolent action designed to stop the violence. And what we try to do, we try to go out into the hard-hit areas of the community to reach out to the community with the Love Festival. We want to bring the community together in fun. And love, we use live entertainment, we use, powerful speakers to come out to talk to the people about the need for us to stop the violence. And, we invited a lot of people to come in on the line. So, I had other people that were working with me that are on the line
Yes, they are.
to talk with us. So I wanted
Okay.
to introduce them and introduce the people that are working with us in the Stop the Violence campaign.
Okay.
It involves all of the community, and that's our main goal, is to get the community, talking again, to get the community, to working with each other again, to bring all the nonprofits together, to bring all the businesses together, and to bring all the churches together. To make us a community again, Angela.
Yes, I understand
That's what
that.
we.
I understand that. So who is all on the phone? Would you like to introduce them?
We have our hostess on the line, Melissa January.
Yes, ma'am.
She's on the line. We have Tina Rankins, my administrative assistant, who's on the line, who works with us with all of our nonprofit efforts, and we have a host of people that are on the line that are coming in to talk about the Stop the Violence and why it's so important for us to do these events.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Understand what you're saying. All right. So, when is the date for this event?
We're gonna have the first event is gonna be May 7th. It's gonna be at the West End Mall in the west side of Atlanta, a very prominent area of Atlanta. And it was like the little one of the richest places where blacks owned their own homes, where we had our own businesses, where we had our own economy flourishing in that area. But now, now it has gone through some changes, and we're trying to revive that and bring it back up to where it was. The West End community is a beautiful community. It has a lot of organizations in it, and we're trying to revive that and keep it going strong.
Okay, so the event is being held in a very prominent area. Okay. Okay,
And
so.
the Mall West End is historical. It's a historical area that's very well known in the metro Atlanta area.
Okay. All right. So you're spearheading this, right? You
Yes,
started
ma'am.
the
Yes,
Stop the
ma'am.
Violence and Incarceration. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. So My next question would have to be, is it just in Atlanta or in Georgia that this camp, that this event and campaign is that, or is it going nationwide?
Well, it's growing nationwide, but you know, I've asked other leaders in other cities and other states to do the same thing that we're doing, to go out into the community and to host these type of events. Some of them are doing block party type events. Some of them are doing, musical events where they're having different gospel choirs come out, and they're trying to have sort of like a peace campaign. But this is something that we're trying to do every year, every summer, and we're trying to do it across the country. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So since the Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign has been going on, have you seen, is there any improvement?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, if you look at the crime rates, the violent crime rates across the board, all of them have gone down. For the last 7 years, those crime rates have been going down. Since we started this campaign, the incarceration rates have been going down. And as you see right now, they are making efforts to empty out the jail, to release those nonviolent offenders. And we've been making strides. Now, you know, at first it was only us that was talking about Stop the Violence. Now you see it echoing across the country.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, was it spearheaded by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, yeah, this is the original organization of Dr. King and our elders, in the civil rights movement. Matter of fact, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the reason why it was created was to be the platform organization for all of the other organizations, churches, businesses, and communities to come together under one banner. And that's what we're doing with this Stop the Violence and Incarceration Love Fest. We're being that banner. We're being that platform for other entertainers, for other actors, for other nonprofits, for other businesses, for other people in the community to join with the SCLC banner and come together to make a difference in our community. That's exactly what we're doing.
Okay. All right. And that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing that you are doing to other people involved.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions I would have to ask, will there be, like, people from the community, maybe younger people who have been in trouble with the law, parents who've had a loved one killed, would they be
yes.
there too? It's not just
yes.
the children.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let me give you a picture of what the Stop the Violence Love Fest is. We reach out into the local communities, and we ask the local communities, we ask the young people, we ask them to write their own raps, to write their own songs, to put together their own skits, and we ask them to come and perform for their own communities. We ask all of the schools to do the same, and then, you know, when these young people put pen to paper, it's incredible what they come up with. And they come up and they rap and they sing and they dance and they put on these skits. And everything that they do is about stopping the violence. And also, we ask those that's been affected by violence, those who have lost a loved one, those that have been robbed, that have been home invaded, we ask them to tell their story. We ask them to tell their story. And it's a very powerful event. When we bring the whole communities together, it's a very powerful event.
So, do you help young people to start their own businesses, like selling water or anything, instead of selling drugs or stealing? things from
yeah,
people's
that's
houses.
Yeah, that's another part. That's another part of our program. You know, when we go into the probation systems, when we go into the communities, and we start our entrepreneuring, we try to get them in entrepreneuring. We put them in groups of threes, and we have them to come up with a business plan, and we develop that business plan, and then we get them out there to start creating income. But that's another part of the program. But the Love Festival, this is a community outreach where we're reaching out to whole communities, where we're reaching out to the whole city and to trying to get the whole city involved. It's kind of like a road show that's on the move. So when we do it in the West End Mall, we're going to do it in the West End Mall, and after that we're going to go to another prominent black mall, which is Greenbrier Mall, and it's much bigger. Then we're going to go to South DeKalb Mall, which is also much bigger. Well, we're going to be reaching multiple ethnic groups and different races, and you know we're trying to spread the love, and so it's not just a black thing, but it's an American thing.
Yes, I understand that, seeing it very clearly. So,
what's your, on the topic though?
Yeah.
What is your opinion? What is your opinion about Black Lives Matter organization?
Okay, let me see what's up here.
What is my opinion about Black Lives Matter organization? That was our purpose for starting the SCLC Stop the Violence campaign some 7 years ago. Our goal was to bring attention and awareness to the need for us to create organizations to stop the violence. So I would think that would just be, you know, these organizations that are springing up and popping up and coming up all over the country, that was our game plan to get that attention to start growing and to get things like Black Lives Matter to get started in metro cities across the country. And we're proud of that fact. We're proud of that fact. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference, you know, we've been in existence for, you know, since the 60s. So that was part of our strategy to bring awareness to the need for us to stop the violence.
Taking a shower, bath.
So there was a prominent
somebody's phone is
but somebody's
phone is not muted.
There's a lot of noise in the background. Could you get your phone?
See, one more thing you gotta do is take me to her school. I mean,
no, her the mother is taking her.
Oh.
Okay, so Brother Ronnie Leverson, according
I can't
to
hear
the
you.
News, has been.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay,
I'm
having
to
the basketball.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Is everybody else hear him?
Yes, I can hear him.
Well, can we introduce the people that's on the line, Ms.
Yes,
Butler?
Please
can
do.
We can we
please
introduce
do.
The people that's on the line?
Please do. Yes,
that's
fine.
Okay, if you're on the line, could you please introduce yourselves one by one, please, and tell a little
okay,
bit
sure.
about yourself.
I am Ms. Melissa January. I am going to be the host of the Love Fest. I am glad Reverend Lionel reached out to me, and I'm totally excited about it. I am a certified life coach, and so with that, me changing lives as well as being an active community giver, I look forward to this event. I hope, you know, we can make the biggest impact possible in a short period of time to make this a movement.
That's pretty much it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is there...
Well she's gonna be our host for this event, and she haven't even told half about who she is and what she is. Melissa, please tell us about your career,
okay.
a little bit more about yourself, about what you do and what you bring to the table.
Okay. Well, basically, I'm a domestic violence survivor, so I am totally against violence. Through domestic violence, I was able to fight myself again, meaning knowing that life is all about having a purpose. I started off being a published model and went from modeling. I modeled for a couple of magazines, modeled for Macy's, Spillers, all the big stores, and now I got into life coaching, and so now this is really deep for me because now I can, the things that I learned, the things that I was able to change about my life, I can now help someone else to change theirs. And I always say, each one teach one, but also each one reach one, meaning when you have something and you got out of a certain situation, you know, don't just keep it to yourself. It's basically almost like you found a gift within yourself. So share it with the world, you know, help somebody else get on their feet, help somebody else get it, get themselves together. And also know that we all have a gift. We all have, God gave us all a gift. So even if you, my message to the community is even if times are hard, even if this is all towards a purpose, you know, because whatever you're going through right now is just going to help you to go on with your life in a different way. And I always say, you know, whatever happens to you that doesn't kill you, make you stronger. And we have to stop killing each other. It just doesn't make any sense. Of course, I always say, especially
true.
In our communities, we are some of the most talented people. No matter how far we fall down, we always get back up. So it's just time for all of us to come together to, like I said, each one teach one and then each one reach one.
Okay. All right. That's great. So,
And on another token. I survived death almost. So I'm a walking miracle. I was in a coma for a couple of months. And like I said, I had a second chance at life. So my motto that I also go by is inspire before you expire, because you just never know when your last day is, and you never want to leave Earth with all of the gifts and all of the things you have to offer. And again, I think our people are one of the most talented people and, like I said, one of the strongest. So whoever is weak right now, you know, we are only as weak as the weakest link. So that's actually by Reverend Gant. So we have to, like I said, we have to go ahead and grab down and pick some people up along the way.
That's right. That's true. You're 100% right. So what do you think about the prominent individual, Brother Barney Sims, that was shot and killed on Saturday evening? Do you have an opinion about that? You want to talk about it?
Oh, my God. Okay. I let someone else go.
All right. Somebody else.
Yes, I'm Tina Rankin Leatherwood. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Hi. I'm Angela.
Okay, Miss Angela. I've been working with Reverend Gant for quite some years, and I see the need for us to create some intervention and prevention programs for the kids. The kids are angry, you know, and they don't know how to reach out and get the right help that they need, so they get caught up with the wrong things. So we definitely need the CLC Stop the Violence Love campaign. We need this Love Fest to bring unity for people all ages, not just the kid ages, because sometimes the love has to come from the grandparents to the grandkids, the mothers to the children. And this thing is bigger than this, that. I mean, everything from elementary, middle school, high school, college, these are professionals. Now they're college professionals. They have kids and nieces and nephews, foster care programs, all of these programs like this. We need to reach out and take the challenge to come together and create something, a great unity that can help change this negativity in society.
Yes, that's right. And it is negative. So I'm going to, I know all of you are still introducing yourselves, but I just want to ask Reverend Gant something.
Go ahead.
Reverend Gant, what do you have to say about the criminal justice system and the recent killings, the recent deaths by police officers? It's not a new event to me, but the media out there is trying to make it seem like it's something new and shocking. But what is your opinion?
Well, it, it if you're asking me for opinion about Black America and the criminal justice system,
yes,
then we all know that we have been the target of institutionalized slavery, that's been imposed on us by the criminal justice system. The criminal justice system is targeting just us. I mean, if you go into any courtroom, which we have people now with our Stop the Violence campaign, we have people that go into the courtroom every day. They sit in the courtroom and they write the verdicts of every case that comes through there. We have a wonderful young lady. She's been doing this for years for us. Okay, and she sits in the courtroom every day, and she lists down every case, and she lists down the verdict of what happened in those cases. Let me tell you what happens on the average basis. Most of the Black offenders are given twice as much time as white offenders. The fines are greater. It's a completely one-sided system when it comes to Blacks in the criminal justice system. And if you go to any courtroom in any major city across the nation, you know who you're going to see in those courtrooms? Mostly just us. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Are you telling me that white people don't get traffic tickets? Are you telling me that Hispanics don't get traffic tickets? We may see 12 of them in a courtroom of 65 people. All right? This system is bent against the Black community. Matter of fact, where they're making the majority of their money, the majority of their income in the criminal justice system is coming from the Black community, people who basically don't have no money. You know, and when I saw this some 7 years ago, this is when we started crying out about it. And I met with the SCLC leadership, and they asked me a question. They said, well, what do you think Dr. King would be doing if he was here today? I told them, I think he would be doing exactly what we are doing today. He would be fighting a Stop the Violence campaign, and that Stop the Violence campaign would start at us first. Black people, we got to stop killing each other. The reason why we are filling up those courtrooms is because we're in that committing crimes against each other. I know young ladies that when their boyfriend don't treat them right, or when he don't bring the money to them or whatever like that, the first thing they'll do is call the police on him. The man ain't did nothing to them. They will call the police on that man, have that man arrested, or have him arrested where he'll mess around and lose his job, lose his place to stay, lose his car, lose his car insurance, because he's sitting somewhere in a jail cell. Black people, we've been doing this to Black people. And so they got mad at me and they said, why are you talking about Black on Black crime? White people have white on white crime. I said, yeah, I'm not concerned about the white on white crime. Right now I have to be concerned with my own people first before I can deal with anybody else's trouble. And we have been our worst. We have been our worst enemy in that regard.
Yes,
and I don't care who gets mad about it.
Okay. Now I've been reading about ontheroot.com, and
okay.
It talks about bail. They're trying to outlaw bail, pretty much, according to theroot.com. There are people in jail any given day of half a million in jail because they don't have the money to bail themselves out.
That's right.
What do you think about the No More Money Bail Act? Just to make the states, they're not going to make money of bail. It's right. Keeping those in there who really have a reason to be there.
Had a lot of
crazy
thing to a lot of stuff I can't even understand.
Well, somebody else is coming. I'll let somebody else comment on that. Now I'll come in and answer.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone want to talk about the what's on the root.com about outlawing bail? Hello? Okay. All right. I guess not. Well, the No More Money Bail Act, they're trying to get that passed through Congress. It won't be a complete elimination of the bail system, but it would be a great majority of it, because there are people, you know, who sit in jail for traffic tickets and different things because they don't have the money to make bail. They sit there for months, weeks at a time, and they lose their jobs. Some of them lose education. They lose their housing, and some of them lose medical care, such as Kelly Frawley, Sandra Bland, Alan Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no one has an opinion. Okay, I'll move on.
Yeah,
so who
yes,
else wants
well,
to introduce themselves? Sorry.
I'll make a comment on that because, you know, bail, the reason why we have bail because it's in lieu of jail time. Okay, either you spend your 60 days in jail or you pay the bail. Okay, all right. A lot of the young boys and the homeless, they would rather sit in jail than pay their bail. They would rather do the jail time than to pay the money or to pay. Or to pay the bail. Now, that's a good system. I think it's a good plan that they're trying to eliminate the bail because the whole criminal justice system has become a money system, and that's why I was alluding to the fact that they're making this money, they're waging this war in the black community. They're waging this war on us. They're not waging it on anybody
yes.
else. They're waging this war on us. When they declare war on drugs, they declare war on drugs, but they fought that war in the black community. You know, they fought that war in the
yes.
black community.
Yes.
And they filled up the jails with majority of black people. Well, it was Mexicans out there selling drugs. It was Puerto Ricans out there selling drugs. It was white people out there selling drugs. It was every ethnicity has something to do with drugs in this country, and because America is such a large market for drugs, everybody and their mother was selling drugs in America. But instead of them going out in Buckhead or going out in Buckhead for that. To fight that drug war, they came over in Bankhead to fight that drug war. And what I'm saying is, you know, they came in the black community to fight those drug war. They didn't go out into the prominent community to fight the drug, where a little white kid they buy more larger quantities of marijuana than the black kids do. But they didn't fight the drug war inside of the white community. This is the hypocrisy that we see. This is why we're crying out in our Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign. This is why we're crying out so loudly, you know, because of the injustices of the criminal justice system. So now they're trying to fix it, or they're trying to because there's been such a light shine on them. Now they're trying to back up and fix it, but it's too late for that because right now we are already making up more than 48% and 58% of the prison population. So we have other people that are on the line, and I wanted them to chime in on some of these subjects. I had our SCLC chapter president Nathan Knight. I had them call in. I had some others to call in to talk about these issues because these are the issues that they're fighting right now. So if there's anyone else that's on the line, please, I would like for you all to come in and talk about these issues because these issues are, what Ms. Angela Butler is bringing up are very important for our community.
All right. Someone like to comment on that and introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Tina Rankin Leatherwood. I feel that it's something that we need to protest or either create some type of law that will protect the people from going to jail for, like you said, traffic tickets and losing the jobs and the homes and all that. There definitely need to be something put in sync for that, because that's a terrible thing.
Yes, ma'am.
To go to jail for a traffic ticket and lose your livelihood and your home. So I feel that
yes.
we should come together and try to put a law together that will protect the public or protect the people with those specific cases. Think about that.
Okay. But do I think about that? I think it's a good thing that they're doing, reforming bail. They're calling it the No More Money Bail Act of 2016, because there's, mm-hmm. according to theroot.com, on any given day, probably half of me unconvicted people sit in jail, and it costs the taxpayers of about $14 billion a year. So I think it's a good thing, because not only that, they have personal losses, interrupted schooling, medical care. Sometimes they lose jobs and housing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great thing. $14 billion is a lot of money. I actually don't understand how anybody has that much, just reading this, because I know I don't have everything, I don't live in luxury, anything like that. But can you imagine? I'm not going to jail for a traffic ticket and staying there a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't
mm-hmm.
go to work because you can't come up with $5,000 or $2,000. That's wrong. It's evil.
That's wrong. So we need to put a law. We need to see what kind of law we can put together on the bill, a house bill that turns into a law that will protect the people for that type of situation.
I'd like to jump in for a minute.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my name is Linnell Babbage Torres, and I am with Minorities for Trump campaign.
How you doing, my sister?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I wanted to ask a question, because I'm not really familiar with all that, but the Anti-Defamation League, which is a Jewish organization, handles a lot of issues that affect their communities. For Jewish people that are going through whatever kind of anti-Semitism problems they may have, as a group. Do we not have anything like that in the Black community, where we have lawyers that are graduating from law school, and, I'm sure there are hundreds of good quality lawyers out there, African-American lawyers, that could devote their time to helping in this situation, because in order to pull a bill together, you've got to have a team of lawyers to make that happen. And so do we not have lawyers in the Black community that are willing to do that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there are, but I don't know for certain if they would do it. But what my understanding is, when you have people in jail for, let's say, 3 or 4 tickets, and they sit there for 3 months or 80 days, I mean, there's something wrong with that.
I understand, and I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you, but, just talking about it is not going to change it. You do have to have lawyers to hammer the bill out, or hammer out, the boundaries. And, who's going to be more interested in helping Black people than other Black people, other lawyers that are Black? So then maybe I should put this question to you, Reverend Gant. Are you familiar in the SCLC? Do you have a team of lawyers, African American lawyers, that are working on these issues?
Yes, ma'am, we do. We do. NAACP, National Action Network. We all do. All of those organizations. We have those things that are going on continuously. Then we have other organizations that are set aside. That's all that they do. And
can you name those? Can you name those organizations for me besides the NAACP? Who else?
Yeah. Those are the main ones that have those things in place, and they've been in place for some time. The NAACP, SCLC, and National Action Network do a lot of work in those areas.
National Action Network. Okay, that's what I was trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to comment or introduce themselves? Hello. Okay.
I am. This is Miss January again.
Hi.
Good. I do think. So I work around a lot of professionals, and I even know that there's still a certain fear. So when you are a black lawyer, when you are a black high top notch professional, I think they want change too, but they're afraid of something. So at my job, we was going to create that black, just to protect our black people at the job, we was creating this group, and it lasted for all of 3 weeks. Once somebody has heard about it, and then they're like, okay, everybody just start backing out of it because that's not a good idea, that's not a good idea, and then everything just fell apart. So there's still a certain fear that our people have towards speaking up and speaking out, especially up in the higher levels. So when we're talking about lawyers,
they're afraid
and stuff
of
like
losing
that,
business.
Oh, yes. And some of the black lawyers, they only cater to white people, or some of the black lawyers, they don't do the crime stuff. So we would actually have to go to the lawyers that handle crimes and all these situations, I would say. Now, I actually had a personal situation where I just recently had to go to court for a traffic ticket. And, yeah, all I saw, like Reverend Gant said, all I saw was black. And it was almost like heartbreaking, you know. It was just like,
yeah.
Wow. This was my actual first time ever being in a court system with anything. Now, to be honest, I am, of course, a sister. I am black on the outside, just on the inside, even though originally I'm from Germany. But just walking into that court system, walking into that courtroom, I felt so bad. Oh, my God. Like, the way they treated me was just like basically like a criminal. Like, I've actually done something, you know. And I'm like, I'm as wholesome as I don't know what. You know, every question you ask, they get answered with attitudes. Even from our people, I'm like, okay, ma'am, I have never been here. Where do I have to go? You know, it's just, oh, my God. It really comes back to me so much pain that people holding on. And nobody sees the change. And that's what kills me. Because if I would have told you 4 years ago, I couldn't even walk. I couldn't even talk. Okay. Sorry, it's about 5-6 years ago. I couldn't do none of these things. Now I'm a business owner. I'm this, I'm that. That stuff don't happen just because, you know, as long as we got God, there's anything possible. People just have to really start believing in these things. That's why I want to speak to these young people. I want to tell them, look, I came from nothing too. I didn't have anything. I had to start all the way at the bottom. I didn't have a degree. I didn't even know the English language correctly. You know, people trying to always hold you back. So I just think, you know, when you go up to the higher levels, it's always crucial. Like I said, I went to the court system, and I feel our black cops, they treated me like a criminal. You know, when I was afraid to say something, you know, because I was like, oh, my God. Like, so I went into the courtroom. I didn't check in the right way, so the cop came to me, and he came to me so rude. And he was like, I'm stupid. I'm sorry to say that, but seriously, I sat there, and then he was like, why wouldn't you check in? And he looked at me so irritated, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, sir, this is my first time. And he looked at me like, yeah, whatever, joker, and, you know, go and check in. And so, you know, when I went and checked in, like I said, it felt like all eyes on me. So I can only imagine if you're a young kid and you have done something wrong, and we have all made mistakes. You know, nobody's perfect. But I can only just understand how this hatred, how this pain, how it all comes apart. And that's where we have to come in, the leaders, the business owners, the nonprofits. We just have to show them, look, we are over here fighting for you guys. We haven't given up. And that's why this.
So, since you're talking about jail, I'm going to interrupt you. Not trying to be rude. But,
No.
TheRoot.com, like I said, on any given day, there could be half a million black people in jail. And it's costing the taxpayers, $14 billion to keep them there in jail every year.
Wow.
Now, the criminal justice system, I mean, the Department of Justice in TheRoot.com even said that it violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, but also constitutes
bad
public policy.
That's right.
So what I'm saying is it's a violation that they're doing to the majority of black people. I'm not saying other races don't go to jail, but when you have at any given day in the United States of America half a million people in jail, something's wrong. And the majority of them are black, something is very wrong. So I understand what you're saying, because at least you didn't have to sit in jail a month, you know?
That's what I said when I walked out. I said, hallelujah, y'all going to get this money, but I am out, I am free. Amen, yes, ma'am. But it was a bad experience. I am not a criminal. I have never had a ticket in my whole life, ever. That was the first time. And I bet you even the cop who gave it to me, I guess he felt so great about it, because I never had any issue with the court system. But that day, I tell all my friends, I say, I felt like the worst criminal. I felt like I really did something. They had me up in there stuttering, and I'm in there for a traffic ticket. I was like, come on, y'all, like chill a little bit. I'm just really trying to figure out what I need to do. And just like I said, the way of being handled, it was just not right. And just to look at the numbers, I think sometimes they know we're one of the most powerful races, so to not take over this country or to not, because literally now, you know, we are on the come up. It don't matter how much you've done to us, we're always still here. We always come back fighting. So it's like, okay, the black man, he has to deal with a lot, but yet he still gets up and he still goes and he still goes out. I know there's so many things that they say we don't do, but in the end, it's like we always get back up and we're still fighting. And even though it's half of the people gave up, there's still 100,000 more that's fighting. And as long as that goes on, we never lost. And people just have to understand. And we have to let these people know.
Okay, I wanted to jump in again, if that's okay. This is Cornell again. And, you know, I was listening to the young lady that's talking, and I've got five kids, and I have one son that's incarcerated right now for life. My problem is this: as a parent, I have tried to express to my kids two laws that they have to live by. One is, you know the game is stacked against you, so why go out and commit a crime? Why go out and put yourself in that position so that, with the way I grew up, you know, you've heard the rule, you got to be twice as good to get half as far. I mean, we tried, you know, we consciously thought about keeping out of trouble so that they would not have any grounds, so that when they came against us, it was blatantly a violation that, you know, they couldn't argue with because we hadn't done anything. So that's the one thing I told my kids, and unfortunately they didn't listen. And the other thing is attitude. I mean, you know, when a cop stops me, even if he's violating my rights, I'm not going to aggravate the situation. I'm going to wait till I get in court with my lawyer and let my lawyer do the fighting for me. I'm not getting into an altercation with a cop on the street so that he can blow my brains out legally and say whatever he wants to say. Now, my kids do not adhere to that as well as I would like them to. And I'm not making excuses for cops. I'm just telling you from my experience with my children, I tell them all the time, don't argue with a policeman. Wait until you, you know, do whatever you need to do, and then we go to court with a lawyer. And then as far as, you know, other people not being incarcerated, I've been married to a Spanish guy. I was married to a Spanish guy for 20 years. And so I understand their culture pretty well. They pay whatever money they need to pay immediately. If everybody has to put their money together, sister, brother, uncle, grandparent, if the bail is $5,000, they know they're here illegally. They know they're going to get deported. They try to avoid trouble, but if they get in trouble, they pay that money up front. Now, that is a lot of the reason why you don't see as many of them in there as we are. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just stating facts. We have got to get our act together. We as black people have to get our act together. We have to teach our children, and we have to organize as far as, you know, having lawyers, organizations like the Anti-Defamation League or whomever, to go in there and fight for us. We can't just sit back and wring our hands and talk about how unfair everything is. We've got to have a plan of action, and we've got to execute
plan of
that.
Action. That's
and
what
we've
got to
execute
Christian
it every time.
Leadership Conference is doing. That's what the NAACP is doing. Black people are helping each other. Black people have come. You have always been together. There's always been unity. But
I understand
there's
always
been
unity, but this is at epidemic proportions right now.
Yeah,
we've got an epidemic. That's why we're talking about it.
And like I said, they are talking about what's wrong with the criminal justice system. And people,
that's right.
Everybody's not going to agree. But as I did a little research, it does violate an amendment. It really does. I mean, you can get all the lawyers involved.
I agree. I agree, but that's the only way you're going to fix it, though.
Equal Protection Act. By
Hello, can I say something?
Go ahead.
My name is Rosella Clinton, and I agree with Ms. Linnell. I really believe that we have the black kids. I think they should be, in the first place, they should be afraid of going to jail, because I always told my kids, if you go to jail, don't call me. I'm not going to do anything for you. And so I had one daughter. She went to jail when we lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She got it with her husband. They took her to jail, and her brother and sister was all upset because she's in jail. She had to spend jail in. It was the weekend, so she had to spend the whole weekend in jail. Right. When she got out, she said, "I ain't never going back to jail again." And then I remember. When I first got born again, I was Mr. Fred Price, the preacher out in California. He said he went to jail. He was in jail 30 days. He said, we got out of jail. He told them, bye-bye, I'm never coming back again. Before we became free, before the Civil Rights Movement, we black folks, we was responsible people. Seems like after the Civil Rights Movement, we said we got rights now with no responsibility. I think we should put the fear of jail in our young black kids.
I'll let you say it in 1 minute.
This is Reverend Gant. Listen.
Okay.
Now, I worked in counter-drug operations with the military, and let me tell y'all something. For our young people, when the '80s came and the crack cocaine generation came, you know, for them, you know, with the thug life, with, you know, Tupac talking about the thug life and all this thing, I want you all to understand something here, that for our young people, it's like it's an honor for them to go to jail. They ain't nobody until they have, you know, gone to jail, or until they've had a run-in with the police, or until they have you know, because that thug life is so prevalent in the black community that you know they feel like they ain't nobody until they have been incarcerated, where they can talk about going to the county jail, where they can talk about going to the city jail. So they
well,
got a whole other
thinking.
Well, that seems to me where we need to start. I mean, my
that's
their attitude, then we got to fix that, because that's the root of the problem, it sounds to me.
Well, my sister, that's why we host the Stop the Violence and Incarceration Love Festival, so we can come
exactly.
out there and tell them,
exactly.
hey, this is not the way. This is not the way. We use the power of education and economic empowerment. That's why
yes.
I ask all the businesses to come out there, and the business leaders to come out there, and the nonprofit to come out there, so they can show the children, hey, look, we're in place for you. We're here for you. You know something that we lost in our community that we used to have. We used to have not a mentoring program, but we used to have where a brick mason took them young boys up under his arms, and he taught them how to make the cement. He taught them how to lay the bricks. Where he schooled them in a trade. The concrete construction guy. They took the young men and they showed them how to pour the concrete, and they showed them how to do these things. Now we're not doing that for our generation today. We're not showing them how to become insurance representative. We're not showing them our skills. You know, we're going to have to go back to the community and begin
go
to
back to the basics.
Yes.
That's right.
And I've got to
say
this.
Let me just say this. My opinion, this show talk with Angela, but my own opinion is, and what I believe, people who are in jail should not have to pay for freedom. The reason I said this, because when someone goes, let's say, to prison and they get out, a lot of times if they have a felony or if a person has a felony or they get out not completely, you know, completed it, and they get out on probation or something like that, they can't serve on juries. I learned this through a lawyer that I know that's a relative. People cannot serve on juries. So if you have all one color jury, maybe one black person, let's say, let's just use this as an example. Now, that's not peers. They're not being judged by their peers when they're found guilty. If the jury is all white, I feel like when people get out of prison, they have paid their dues. They should be able to vote, which they say they are now, but I don't completely believe that. I still believe they're blocking people from voting. Matter of fact, I know they are.
Well,
if
illegal aliens can vote, I think people who've been incarcerated ought to be able to vote. First and foremost, because right now we've got illegal aliens having the right to vote, which is absurd.
Yes, they do have a law that says they can vote, but sometimes governors still think, because the governor stops things, because the governor has to sign off of it.
Let me clarify for you. Okay. It has to go 7 years, and after that 7 years, you can go and have your record expunged and have that removed. But here's the thing: most of the people don't know that, so most of the people don't do it. So they walk around with those charges on them for the rest of their life. If you look at the way the government was set up, in a way where it could be inequitable for everyone.
Okay.
Ignorance of the law doesn't negate the fact of the law. Okay, so you can be ignorant of the law, but the law is still going to hit you over the head. And I think my sister my sister, she heard the judge say that in the courtroom. Am I right, Miss January? Miss January, are you still on the line with us? I think the judge said that in the courtroom that she was in, that you know, being ignorant of the law doesn't negate the law. So here's the thing. Okay, the way the system is set up is like this. Either when you're convicted of a crime in America, you have the chance to serve the jail time. You know, they can say, okay, well, you're going to have to serve 5 years for this sentence. Or you can pay the fine. And the fine is usually so high, it's usually, you know, $100,000, such and such and such and such, or you do the time. So they give you the time, and then they also give you the fine. Now, most rich people, they can pay the fine. So they don't have to do the jail time. They can just do the little probation or just do the little – there's a little community service work, and then they're free. They're free.
And that's
to go.
Enough. I hate to interrupt you, Reverend Gann, because everything you're saying is right. But jobs, economics, I believe, like I hope most people on the phone believe, that if there wasn't as much poverty, if there was a, you know, once you get a felony, it's hard to get a job. So I understand about the parenting, understand all that. But not being able to get a job usually means they go end up back in the same boat.
Back in crime.
Yeah,
Because
some of them have child support. I mean, if they don't pay the child support, in some states, they lose their driver's license. Now, how is a man or a woman, going to pay child support if they're not able to drive to work to catch up the child support? I mean, it makes no sense to me. People need licenses if they have to go 20 miles or 30 miles or however far to work. I mean, it's making no sense. And I'll say this again. People are not
judged by their peers,
the jury of their peers. Because if you're from the projects and you got six or seven people who make it $150,000 or $300,000 a year, they're going to look at you like, well, it's your fault. You did crime. But that's still not a fair jury. Those are not the right peers. They're supposed to be a mixture. But when people can't vote, they cannot sit on juries. So that 7 years. Anyway, go on. Go on and talk. Does anybody have anything else to say?
I wanted to say that you know, that's the reason why we host these type of events, because that's the kind of education, that's the kind of knowledge that we're putting out there. I was hoping that the SCLC Trina Barnes, that she would be on the line, because she's putting out a flyer right now that says what their rights are when they're stopped by the police, what they can say, what they can do, and those are the kind of things that we're doing on a community level that we're putting out into the community. We are facing one of the most crucial elections that's coming up for us right now, and that's why I was asking all of the asking people like my friend to come on today to talk about what's gonna affect us the most, what's gonna help Black America the most. And then with the shooting that took place and played out in the open media, you know, somebody hits your car, you get out of your car and you get killed. This is the system that we're living in. So when people are asking for
by NFL player Will Smith.
When they're asking for more safety and they're asking for more police and they're asking for all that, you know, like they're doing with Hillary Clinton right now, they're making her into a bad guy, But really, back in those days, because of the crack cocaine epidemic was so bad, it was really, you know, a lot of black leaders went to the White House and we said, hey, look, our communities are so unsafe with these drugs that have been flooded into our community. Y'all got to do something. And that's why they came out with the stricter the law. That's why they hired more police. That's why they came up with the drug task force. That's why they put cameras in our street lights. That's why they came into our communities and made our communities a literal battlefield. And it was ours that asked for that. So they didn't come up with
a solution for the problem. They just incarcerated people instead of trying to find a way to help people to avoid that and to avoid having those drugs come into the community. So they didn't fix the problem at all. They just found a way to lock up more people and make more money off of them. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes,
and then he flooded the community with the drugs in the first place. How did they get there in the first place? That was my question.
and that's what they should have been working on instead of looking to lock more people up and put cameras out there and catch more people. They should have stopped it at the source. And the source is whoever is bringing it in. But, of course, we know why they don't do that. Because they're all making money off of it.
Right.
Yes. So, Reverend Gant, I believe you're talking about the NFL player Will Smith and his wife were killed. Is that who you're talking about in New Orleans because of road rage?
Yes, ma'am.
His wife was only shot. Well, not only, but his wife was shot in the leg twice, and she did make it. Yeah, she's in the hospital. Yes. Mhm.
Okay.
So, but Will Smith, he was dead right when it happened. Mhm. That's just and the driver of the Hummer, he was only 27 years old. I'd be thinking just in my how mad you got to be that. I mean, they said witnesses heard about 5 shots. I just don't get it. Stuff like that is so
scary. See, that's what I say. You know, we got to get back to the basics. Because when people don't value life,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter whether they have jobs or whether they have money or they have a nice house or whatever. If somebody's driving a Hummer, obviously they're not broke. And so the problem is not that they don't have money. The problem is they don't have respect for life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting back. And until we put a fear of God back into our children, back into our communities, they won't have a fear of life.
Mr. George Zimmerman is living proof of that because the 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was not breaking in anywhere. He was nowhere. He wasn't breaking into an apartment. He wasn't on somebody else's property. He was going along the road minding his own business. And if Mr. Zimmerman saw Trayvon Martin breaking into a house or trying to break into his apartment, his condo, or whatever, in a closed gated community. I understand that. But there's no reason to kill him. He already could use karate or whatever form of art, karate, whatever, that he was being trained. It makes no sense. And that's a prime example Mr. George Zimmerman is. And I'm going to say it again. That's a prime example of not caring about human life.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, it happens all across the board because, I mean, I heard the case of some guy, I don't know, he was mentally ill, he was white, he was naked, running around naked, and he was shot and killed. He obviously didn't have a gun because he was naked.
Hmm.
So, you know, There's no respect for human life. You don't have to kill somebody. You can wound somebody. So, I mean, we all have a stake in this.
And all what they always come back with is, y'all do it to each other. So
that's why
their verification for things, right? That's so sad.
So anyway, I don't think Mr. Gant got to say as much as he wanted to about the event. But I'm would you say it again, please?
Well,
Reverend Gant, tell them again about your event.
Well, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, our Stop the Violence and Incarceration Love Festival, is going to be held at the West End Mall in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 7th of May. And it'll start at 2 o'clock and it'll end at 5. But what we need all of the candidates to be represented at that so that they can educate the people about who the candidates are, what the candidates stand for, and how those candidates are going to affect Black America, how they're going to affect, you know, how they're going to affect our community. And then we need all of the businesses to come out to meet with these children to show them that, hey, look, I started my own business at 26 years old. This is where I'm at today, you know, to be that living proof right there, to take them up in entrepreneurship, to educate our young people about business, about starting businesses. If they can't find a job, hey, they can start a business, okay, and start producing.
Amen.
And start the right business.
All of the nonprofits to come out, because a lot of people are seeking for help, but they don't know where to get the help at. The nonprofits are in the neighborhood, and they're out there doing the work, but we want to build a bridge between, you know, between these organizations and the people. And then we want to also build a bridge between our law enforcement, between the police and the community. We want to get the police involved with the community. You know, once the police, you know, like when we was growing up, the police that patrolled our neighborhood, he could call me by name. He knew who my mama was. He knew who I was. You know, he could pull over in the car. He knew everybody. He knew every child in that community. And that way we can stop a lot of these things that are going on if we begin to build a bridge between the community and our police force.
We're trying to
bring the whole community together. And it's an opportunity to network. It's an opportunity to grow your business. It's an opportunity to grow your organization. It's an opportunity to reach a multitude of people. And this is what we're trying to do.
And that's wonderful. When is this event? Let everybody know.
It's going to be on the 7th. It's going to be on the 7th of May in the West End Mall of Atlanta.
Okay. All right, everyone, I hope you heard that. I have to end the show because they only give me an extra 10 minutes for a stream with what I paid. So I'm going to have to end the show. I believe what Reverend Gant and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and Stop the Violence and Incarceration and all that, I believe that's the right thing to do. I believe that's a way of solving, one of the ways of solving the problem. Because when you have no money, no way of getting a job, that's why there's a whole lot of crime. But you're talking about nonprofit, so, you know, and things like that. So that's great. Jobs will keep crime lower. So everybody, have a good night. You've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I appreciate those of you who came on this show. Also, the people who usually listen in, you can still go to the archives for Show Talk with Angela Butler and listen to the show. All right, everyone, have a good night.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Bye.